Accordingly, he sought to popularize moral slogans so we do not face moral defeat, and these slogans were aimed to counter that of Bush's, who deceptively said, "Anyone who is not with us is against us." Ali Abdullah Saleh came to the conclusion that this undertaking of Syed Hussein had robbed him of the opportunity to become the US's preferred ally in the region.
And he escalated oppression, tyranny, destruction, torture, and imprisonment.
Since then, the government has sought their desired version of Islam and their desired personalities and scholars, whom they can remotely control.
On January 18, 2004, thousands of soldiers, backed by tens of aircraft, hundreds of tanks, cannons, and other heavy and semi-heavy military equipment, attacked the areas of El Nashur, El Saifi, Maran, and Zahyan in the Sadr Governorate. It was the government's first war on the Houthis, which lasted for 3 months.
The person who directed the wars against Zaidi Shias, or Al-Shabaab al-Mumen, was named Ali Mohsen al-Ammar and was among those close to President Ali Abdullah Saleh. He, however, was inclined toward Wahhabism. Known to maintain such inclination, he received his orders from Saudi Arabia.
The civil war lasted for some time, and then Sayyid Hussein was martyred and his body was confiscated. The body was placed in one of the central prisons in Sana'a in order to be out of reach of his followers, so that his followers could not erect a tomb for him, and so that Sayyid, who was the leader of a movement, could not be paid tribute to.
However, prior to the fall of Maran, Syed Hussein had ordered Syed Abdullah Malik al-Houthi to be transferred from the area to another. He secretly knew of Abdul Malik's importance without divulging this to anyone else.
The death of Syed Hussein al-Houthi, the leader of the Zaydis, and many of his aides dissipated Saleh's and Ali Mohsen al-Ahmar's concerns regarding the situation in Sadr, especially in light of the fact that the movement had lost its leader.
The Al-Shabaab al-Mumen movement, however, did not go disband, but lived on thanks to the support of Hussein's father and martyr, Alamir Badr al-Din al-Houthi.
At the time, negotiations were underway between Ansar and the government. The talks were led by Syed Badr al-Din al-Houthi, who represented Ansarullah.
The government, though, did not live to its promises. Syed Badr al-Din consequently returned to the area of Al-Nashur.
Following Syed Hussein's martyrdom, all eyes turned towards Abdullah al-Ruzami, his former colleague in the House of Representatives, with no one even thinking of Abdul Malik. Abdullah al-Ruzami was residing in Al-Nashur, and thus Ansarullah members made their way to that area, gathering there.
The area of Al-Nashur is very small and surrounded by mountains on every side.
At the time, Syed Abdul Malik said it was a mistake for the Ansarullah to congregate in the area as it is too open and also it is close to a major garrison. He said that it was incumbent upon the movement to spread out and ordered each member to start operating independently in the area. Al-Ruzami disapproved of this idea.
Towards the end of January 2005, Abdullah Saleh waged his second war on the Houthis. On this occasion, Al-Ruzami was the leader of the Ansarullah movement's military wing and undertook to direct its defense. Despite the efforts and martyrdom of many of his brethren, this war too ended with the movement's defeat and his arrest on March 27, 2005. As their enemy closed in, Badr al-Din al-Houthi retreated through the impassable mountain range of Sadr together with his remaining fighters.
Some of these fighters would actually tie themselves up to force themselves to stand their ground, and there they would fight until they were murdered.
After this second war, leadership was passed down to Abdul Malik al-Houthi, who is now considered the leader of the Ansarullah.
Syed Abdul Malik departed for Matran, which is a strategic area, geographically reinforced. On his departure, he was accompanied by a small number of people, but with time, others joined him, believing in his cause.
It was during this sojourn that people began to be drawn to Abdul Malik al-Hufi, the younger son of Sayyid Badruddin, despite there being an older brother named Yahya. Abdul Malik, born in 1979 in Sadr Governorate, rose to a leadership rank of Shabab al-Mu'min, owing to his psychic abilities and personal characteristic.
Once his popularity was apparent, Abdul Malik started to preach some ideological themes to initiate people with Sayyid Hussein's ways.
He then dispatched youth to Sana'a to spread his ideology. These emissaries were met by the brutality of security forces and thrown into security, political prisons, or other kinds of prisons.
The government commanded them to stay in the mountains and even offered to pay them to do this. But Sayyid Abdul Malik rejected these demands, and hence a third war began, which was the beginning of victories.
It could be interpreted from the measures the government implemented during this third war that it sought to utterly annihilate the movement.
Meetings took place between Saudi Arabia and the U.S. over how to steer the war towards achieving the total eradication of the Houthi movement, once and for all. Houthis were bombarded with false accusations and subjected to a massive propaganda campaign.
And when the third war started, most all of the fighters followed the lead of Sayyid Abdul Malik.
The third war took place in March 2006 under the command of Ali Mohsen al-Ahmar. But this time it was the Houthis that won, delivering a heavy toll upon the aggressors. The victory further affirmed the position of Abdul Malik and the Houthis as heroes among the people, while causing deeper concern for the Yemeni government and consequently the Saudis. Saleh put on a public face, but in secret, he was planning vengeance.
Then they released all the prisoners as part of their plan to prepare themselves for a fourth war, which was indeed a war of eradication. Since it was not tactful to kill 800 inmates whilst incarcerated, they released them so they could be killed on the battlefield. Then commencement of the fourth war was violated. Just imagine a sudden onslaught of aggression directed at a single location, with all the weaponry in their position, with around-the-clock attacks. But by the grace of God the Almighty, the defenders withstood this aggression and claimed victory. Warfare ended, leaving the government in defeat and weakened.
The victors were Ansarullah. The win enabled the group to capitalize on their position and on their wartime experience to negotiate an agreement with the government. But there was a fifth war, and it was during this that the Ansarullah movement increased their claim, managing to free Al-Maran and forcing the government to withdraw from the area as well as many other areas in Sa'ada.
The Fifth War began in March 2008 and ended in January the following year with a resounding victory for the Houthis. Their momentum led to a significant growth in awareness of the people who were all invited to become acquainted with the Al-Shabaab al-Mu'min's movement, thereafter identified as Ansarullah.
The movement grew and spread beyond Sa'ada governorate into Hajjah, Al-Jawf and Amran, capturing greater influence in other governorates, expanding remarkably quickly.
And the fighters' faith in Sayyid Abdul Malik's ability to direct the group grew at every stage.
Each time the aggressors started their ways, the Yemeni youth became more resistant, more determined. This was very noticeable following the third war, the fourth and fifth wars. We cannot predict such a phenomenon would occur.
Then there came a sixth war between the government and Ansarullah, with Saudi Arabia and the U.S. ready to prop up the government to join in. Eventually, 28 countries became involved in this war.
Saudi Arabia had supported the Yemeni government in all of its previous wars on Ansarullah. In the sixth one, the Wahhabi kingdom used their own fighters in direct confrontations.
And they sought to enter Saada governorate with military forces in an attempt to destroy outright the Al-Shabaab Al-Mumen movement.
Saudi Arabia entered the war directly, decimating suburbs, dropping bombs from their planes, from their American aircrafts.
More than 20,000 houses were destroyed and thousands of people were killed, particularly among the civilians, women, children and the elderly. In fact, they intentionally destroyed homes while the people were still inside. And in some cases, these civilians lived outside the confrontation zone in peaceful residential areas which did not have relevance to the battleground.
The Yemenis had to understand how dearly it would cost them to adhere to Ansarullah's ideology. Many people were massacred by the bombardment of Saudi and American warplanes, and many infrastructures and property were destroyed. Compared to the previous wars, the Sixth War was the most vicious and most complicated one for Ansarullah.
The Sixth War was basically a massacre, which the Yemeni government was carrying out assisted by Saudi Arabia, and even American aircraft had come to the fray. They carried out indiscriminate killings of civilians, and their aim was to inflict the most possible amount of loss and damage. However, the loss suffered by the aggressors, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and other countries which confronted the Ansarullah movement was so apparent that it made our victories greater.
Al-Shabaab al-Mumen adopted a new form of self-defense in their fighting, which led to the defeat of the Saudi army, laying bare its weaknesses and disgracing it amongst the other armies of the world. Despite Saudi Arabia possessing highly sophisticated weaponry and equipment, bought mainly from the United States, the kingdom did not manage to conquer anything on the ground. Instead, Al-Shabaab al-Mumen, otherwise known as the Houthis, managed to advance into Saudi soil, especially in Al-Dukhan and the Al-Jaberi Mountains, where they stayed and left only after signing an agreement.